No.
Landis?
Yes.
Salazar?
Aye. This is on the amendment, right?
Yes. Thompson?
No.
3 yes, 4 no, Your Honor.
Motion failed. Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, roll call vote, please.
Harrington?
Yes.
Landis?
Yes.
Painter?
Yes.
Salazar?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Sarber?
Yes.
Kiefer?
Yes.
7 yes, Your Honor.
Motion carried. Public hearing for Ordinance 1466.
No one signed up for that, Your Honor.
Okay, we officially close the public hearing. What's the wishes of the Assembly?
Your Honor, I move to adopt Ordinance Number 1466.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Move for adoption. Discussion? Mr. Thompson?
I'd just like to comment that it seems like, for whatever reason, every year we get a heating fuel adjustment for the Gateway Recreation Center, and I'd like to see them be able to tighten up their budgeting a little bit better.
Mr. Painter?
I just wanted to comment and point out, since June 11th, when we passed the original budget number Ordinance 1435, and 2 weeks later immediately amended, that through appropriations, loans from the various different borough funding sources, general fund, economic development fund, school capital improvement funds, service area funds, if this passes tonight, we will have amended our original budget by almost $3 million. And my concern there is, you know, there was a lot of emphasis on in our planning session of trying to get our reserves up. I don't know, one of two things needs to happen. We need to either have a little bit more foresight at, you know, during the budget process. I mean, the heating fuel issue is one thing. We live in the Northwest, we live in America, and we all know that fuel prices are going to continue to go up. I don't know. We've got to do what we got to do, but I just don't like to see, you know, halfway through the year, increase of almost $3 million.
Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, roll call vote, please.
Landis?
Yes.
Salazar?
Aye.
Kiefer?
Yes.
Painter?
Yes.
Harrington?
Yes.
Thompson?
Aye.
Sarber?
Yes.
7 yes, Your Honor.
Motion carried. Item number 4C, consideration request for rezone.
No one signed up for that, Your Honor.
Your Honor, I move to introduce Ordinance Number 1467, cause to be published and set up for public hearing on February 19th, 2008 in the City Council Chambers.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Discussion? Mr. Harrington?
Is it normal on a rezone that we have two public hearings?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, roll call vote, please.
Salazar?
Aye.
Kiefer?
Yes.
Harrington?
Yes.
Sarber?
Yes.
Landis?
Yes.
Painter?
Yes.
Thompson?
Aye.
7 yes, Your Honor.
Motion carried. Item number 5A, presentation by Mr. Sandy. Excuse me, just one moment. Is there any objections here that by the Assembly that we just kind of invert the Board of Education report with Mr. Sandy's report? Hearing none, we'll go to the Board of Education report. Mr. Boyles?
What game does he have to watch now?
Thank you. I appreciate it. Getting through here. Robert Boyle. 815 Miller Ridge Road, superintendent for the school district, presenting the Board of Education report on behalf of the board tonight. We're right at what we'd call prime time instructionally, coming off of January, going right into February, gearing up here for spring break. We have parent-teacher conferences underway, and I don't want to brag too much about the basketball victories over the last weekend, but we had a pretty good, successful, so not only academics, but athletically as well. Of course, this time of the year, we're real concerned with the lobbying process that's taken place and expressing appreciation from the board for their joint efforts with the borough and, of course, with the city. And we're paying our close attention to House Bill 273, which does affect our finances greatly, depending on how that comes out of the legislative session. And, of course, the capital improvement grants and having those all appropriated correctly. Month of February, we'll start in on our budgeting process for the upcoming year, February 23 and 29, will be a public meeting dates that we'll have for our budgets. And then in March, we'll start in on renewing, revigorating our strategic plan. That's where we are currently.
Thank you. Any questions of the superintendent? Mr. Painter.
Yeah, I got just one. Mr. Boyle, thank you. Through the mayor, are you going to be here for item 9E, the request for the resolution 2070 with the lease agreement on the vehicles? Probably not.
Well, if requested, I will be.
I would
be glad to.
I can ask.
Sure.
I just don't know the school board. The decision to do so was a 4-3 vote. Was that correct?
That's correct.
And you support the lease
situation? I do.
Rather than the alternatives that were mentioned at the school board meeting. Okay. That's all I need to know. Thanks.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Sandy, thank you, sir.
Good evening, Trevor Sandy, 16552 Waterfall Road. I'm your design engineer for your South Tongass water system improvements. The manager asked me to come and kind of summarize where we're at and how we got here.
Could I ask you to speak up, sir? I think that there'll be, I have difficulty hearing you, and I'm sure there are other members that would also.
I work for a company called R&M Engineering. We started this project in 2005, I believe. It started at in response to a notice of violation that DEC issued the Herring Cove water users because they presently operate a public water system without any treatment. The borough applied to the state and received a small amount. I believe it was in the $700,000 to $900,000 range to connect the Herring Cove system to Mountain Point. There was a fair amount of political discussion. Folks at Herring Cove really didn't want to connect to Mountain Point water. There was a shortage of water in the Mountain Point system. The borough went back to various granting agencies and received a larger pot of money. Right now, there's a total of $3,385,000 from EPA, two different sources, one $873,000, one $384,000. ADEC, the original $975,000, which is the number in 2005. U.S. Department of Rural Development Association has kicked in $1,000,004, of which 75% is coming from the federal government and 25% is coming from the Alaska Village Safe Water Program. And the borough has $178,000 into the pot for local matching. So $3,000,003. And when all of the monies were received, there was some discussion between whichever of the five public works directors there have been since we started this in the South Tonga service area on what the best plan of action would be. We were directed to design a raw water pipeline that would connect to the hatchery penstocks at Herring Cove and run to the treatment plant at Mountain Point. Potable water would then be placed in the same ditch and run back to Herring Cove and connect to the distribution system that's in Herring Cove. Since then, there were several complications with the money due to a disagreement between the federal U.S. Rural Development and Village Safe Water on how the money was going to be administered. U.S. Rural Development eventually won. The money was promised to the borough last summer, and Rural Development is now going to be the contract administrators on whichever project you guys go forward with. The Rural Development, not sure what the title is, the gentleman's name is Tim Krug. He is going to be in Ketchikan tomorrow afternoon to meet with rural staff as well as myself and some of the South Tongass Water Board members about the engineering report, all of the environmental studies, and the plan to move forward. Wednesday evening, this preliminary report that you folks haven't seen yet because it hasn't gone to the service area board. The service area board will meet and either concur or make recommendations on this draft plan. What this plan essentially says is there were, what's the hatchery said that the borough could not connect to the hatchery line because it's owned by the hatchery and the hatchery has the water light rights and they didn't have enough water to supply the service area without decreasing their fish rearing. I think it was Jim Voltberg, who was the Public Works Director at the time, entered into some negotiations with the hatchery on a joint venture project to increase the line size to Whitman Lake Dam. Our proposal, I helped Jim with various cost scenarios, was to bump the size of the penstock from, I think there was a 8 and a 12 now, or 8 and a 10, to a 16-inch or 18-inch line, or basically any size of the hatchery is choosing, where the borough would presumably supply pipe, and the hatchery would install that. All of that failed, and the borough wound up in a position where they couldn't connect to the hatchery penstock, which was the easy point of connection, and we're faced with a choice, so what do we do now? So R&M came up with three alternatives. One was to run a separate line all the way to Whitman Lake and try to connect to the dam independently of the hatchery or any future KPU projects. The other was to continue down the highway and utilize the existing raw water source that the Herring Bay folks have, which is a small dam on Whitman Creek at about elevation 100. And the third alternative was to also go to Whitman Creek, but maybe consider moving the entire treatment plant from Mountain Point to Whitman Creek. We did three different cost estimates, and all of them were surprisingly similar. The cheapest cost estimate was about $3.3 million, very close to the funding available, and that was to connect to Whitman Creek and pump water back to Mountain Point, which a year and a half later is still the best alternative, or the cheapest alternative. The second least expensive alternative was to go to Whitman Lake with a separate line, and the third most expensive was to move or build a new water plant somewhere in Herring Cove. Since the cost estimates I did in the summer of 2006, I've reanalyzed and increased most of those to reflect current prices. I also took a closer look at the cost of moving the treatment plant, and now that's somewhere around $4.5 million for the treatment plant, and the cheapest alternative is about $3.5 million. There is still merit in looking at the treatment plant option, and I'll explain that a little bit later. But graphically, does everybody have a good sense of where these facilities are? And if you don't, I can point them out here.
Mr. Painter.
I thought that we're talking about the water filtration plant, not the...
Correct, water plant.
I thought the water filtration plant was at Fawn Mountain.
No, there's a 725,000 gallon bolted steel water tank on the hill next to Fawn Mountain.
And that goes all the way to...
I have a map of the whole service area. I'll just summarize it here.
The reason I'm asking this is because it was brought to our attention in the last month by the Public Works Director about the inefficiencies of our current water treatment plant. And has been suggested by somebody with Village Safe Water or whoever made the planning session.
Probably the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium.
Maybe about a more efficient treatment, water filtration treatment.
Yeah, well, I'll talk about that in a little bit when I go through what I think are the preferred alternatives. But in general, here is your entire distribution system: Herring Cove, Mountain Point, you know, the Fawn Mountain area, Shoup Street, and then separate is Saxman, and they're different colors. So currently, you're taking water from Forks Creek, which is about here. You guys can see that. Yeah. Forks Creek isn't a very good water supply because there's not very much water, and it's turbid, and it has a lot of color in it. It needs lots of treatment and chemicals to remove. This distribution system is Mountain Point. It's got two different pressure zones. It's pressured by a booster station that's in the intersection of Franklin Drive, and the booster station pressurizes most of the houses, and then if there's a pressure drop from a fire or a break, then there's a larger pump that kicks on that'll provide fire flow. That booster station pressurizes a local area around Mountain Point. It also pumps water all the way back to the hill above Fawn Mountain School. The Fawn Mountain School tank is the primary storage for the entire system, and because of the elevation, will actually backfeed all the way to the other end of the system, as well as provide water to Shoup Street.
When you say the other end of the system, is that all the way to Herring Cove?
Well, hydraulically, it'll go all the way to the end, because there's very little friction loss through the system. So if you built something at Herring Cove, theoretically it would, but that's a heck of a long ways to go from Fawn Mountain to send water. So in our preferred alternative, one of the things that I think should happen is to find land, and the only land that has high enough elevation is land within the Alcan subdivision, where you could put a separate tank to serve this end of the community. Essentially what you do if you pull that off is get rid of the fire pump. You're pumping up to a static tank, and that pressurizes the system. So this is what you have now. This is what you're trying to achieve. You've got Mountain Point and everything back to Shoup Street that you're trying to connect with. Herring Bay has this little water system here with about 30 houses on it with a notice of violation. There's two options for a water source. One is to connect to the dam, which is this, raw water back to the treatment plant at Forks Creek. The other option is to take water out of the creek, pump it back to Forks Creek, and the other alternative, at least within this study, was to put a new plant on land that would soon be acquired for the purposes of constructing an aquarium. There's just enough land to shoehorn a treatment plant in there if that turned out to be the cheapest alternative, and you could pump treated water back and connect to the system. The best alternative, which is the cheapest alternative, makes sense for a number of reasons. By collecting raw water and pumping it back to Mountain Point, central in the distribution system. And right now, one of the things that your Public Works Department is fighting with are disinfection byproducts, which are caused when particles in the water react to chlorine. And one thing that you've consistently been over is total trihalomethanes, which almost every single community, including the city of Ketchikan, which is why they're building this new ultraviolet facility. All communities are struggling with that. The longer water sits in a distribution system, the higher the levels get. So to minimize that, you want to have a central distribution point, which is the biggest argument for pumping it back here and dispersing it from there. Because typically what happens is if you're over the amount, the limits, you have to drain water off. The city of Ketchikan up at the Baranoff Reservoir drains upwards of 1 million gallons a day sometimes. So that's one of the things to consider. The advantages of this alternative, and we run along the highway to about the hole in the wall. Highway work is extremely expensive. Flagging eats you up in construction costs. Tongass Avenue, it was a killer. As soon as we can get off the highway, we do, and we're running through the Alcan subdivision, through logging roads or through basically raw land. The platting that was done by both the Alcan subdivision and the subdivision that Lauren Boyer did adjacent to that had easements dedicated for this raw water line. So everything but the unsubdivided remainder of Alcan subdivision has been accounted for in terms of planning. And there's a memorandum of understanding between the borough and Alcan that they would grant access through their property for the raw water line. One of the things that this does is you're providing potable water back to Herring Cove. You're off the highway and you're not replacing any asphalt. But you're also, I don't know what the final number would be, but say it's 40 to 60 future lots that are potential customers at $28 a month to help your service fees. So that's the preferred alternative. There's really not much difference in going to Whitman Lake. You have the same customers. It's almost the identical route if you want to try the least cost. This is about $300,000 more. Moving the treatment plant, I threw that in there because it just makes sense. Everybody has always grumbled about the treatment plant that you have, although it's kind of a tried and true off-the-shelf village safe water design. There's probably 50 of them in the state of Alaska, and they work fairly well. They're inexpensive. That's why they built them all over. It is not the Cadillac of treatment plants. One of the things that we don't have enough data on right now, and I think Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium is working for you, is to do a pilot program on your water source. And that will tell you how the new water source needs to be treated in terms of flocculants, filters, settling chambers. There's not really any information for me to evaluate that now. They're supposed to be giving you that data. When you have it, you'll be able to know, you'll know whether your treatment plant is capable of taking Whitman water. Intuitively, it seems like it's going to be a heck of a lot easier to treat because there's not as many, it's not as turbid and there's no color in it. The only advantage to going to the dam that can't be measured in terms of dollars is that the dam water isn't subject to the high turbidity after a rainfall event like the creek would be. So that's the only drawback. And I guess the pilot program would probably analyze both of them and tell you what the long-term costs of those are. Because this is the cheapest alternative, looking down the road, future phases would be to find money to build a potable water tank somewhere within the Alcan subdivision that's an elevation sufficient to supply gravity feed to all of these and get rid of the booster stations that are there because they're not very well designed and the technology is old. So that's a future phase. Another future phase is to go for money to either upgrade the plant at Mountain Point, and the decision to do that's going to be based on what the water pilot study says, or locate a new water plant somewhere in Herring Cove. If you locate a new water plant somewhere in Herring Cove, the best scenario would be to wait for 2 or 3 years until KPU builds their power plant out there and take water right out of the tail race. And basically, you're getting lake water. Nobody's going to question the quantity of water because it's surplus. KPU's agreement, or preliminary agreement, it hasn't been signed,